This is the Presentation Podcast, Season 7, Episode 158. Troy makes a bold statement this episode when he said, "What makes a professional presentation designer is real-world experience." And this episode is about condensing a year of experience into 1 week. Troy, let's have you start the conversation.
PowerPoint is not taught in many design programs, and the conference learning, online learning, and other learning options, they are great, but they do not expose those that are learning about presentation design to, well, the real world mess that is often found within what is thankfully a very open-ended program. PowerPoint gives us so many options, which means that so many people do things so differently. A true presentation design professional is someone with real world experience. They have encountered countless unique presentation setup scenarios, animation uses, layered content, let's just say bizarre design choices, and odd file formats that sometimes even Microsoft Help documents do not tell you are supported. Well, working with over 150 presentations from 100 different presenters, all from different companies, is real-world experience on how PowerPoint slides and formatting can be completely diverse. And as a presentation professional, you just have to know how to fix it and handle it as it comes to you. Hey, this episode, I'm joined by PowerPoint MVP and the Presentation Podcast co-host, Sandy Johnson. We are joined by PowerPoint MVP, Echo Swinford, and the CEO of TLC Creative Services, Lori Collar. And we're sitting down to talk about an amazing project the four of us just wrapped up last week.
This is Sandy Johnson with Presentation Wiz in Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Hi, this is Echo Swinford. I own Echo's Voice. I'm out of Indianapolis.
And this is Lori Collar. I'm with TLC Creative based in San Diego area.
And lastly, I'm Troy and I'm with TLC Creative Services based in San Diego, California.
Troy, I'm going to repeat just a little bit, just to recap the situation. All four of us were actually part of an 8-person presentation team that TLC Creative Services provided for a large medical conference in Chicago. We had 4 days of meetings. There were more than 150 presentations from over 100 presenters. And these presenters were from literally around the globe. Was amazing.
It was awesome. And TLC, we provide speaker ready room logistics for several meetings throughout the year. This particular one is just extra fun because we have the budget for a larger team, but also because we're also graphic ops in each of the ballrooms. So we get to have some of our best friends like you guys join us for a week of working together. And that certainly is a lot of fun. And with that comes, of course, you have to have dinner. So might as well go out to dinner together. So
we had some good food, didn't we?
It was a good week.
The best part.
Yeah.
It was a good week. And you know, honestly, and I don't know if this is where we are in our agenda or not, but I've done this thing for a few years with you guys. And I have to say that honestly, this year was a lot smoother than the last few years have gone. Like we had a lot fewer problems. Maybe it was because you were there, Lori.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I doubt it.
Okay, Echo, give us the logistics. How did we get set up then?
Troy and his team set everything up before we even got there. We had the tables up. We had the computers up. Like, everything was good to go. It was kind of cool. I didn't have to really do anything. But I know, right? That never happens, right? But from a logistics perspective, the TLC creative team had an online presentation upload webpage. And that was actually really cool because the doctors could upload from anywhere and everywhere. They could be in their hotel room. They could upload from their phone. They could take care of all of that on their own. So it was really set up for self-serve, which is awesome. But because we've trained the speakers over the past few years to come and see us, they all came and saw us anyway, which is nice. It's good to see them. So yeah, we did a lot of uploading through the website and things like
that. Should I just jump in and level set that this was a conference for doctors, So it was a cardiology conference. How many were in attendance, Troy?
About 2,500, I believe.
It was, and we took over four floors of the hotel. It was really large. So it was all doctor based. It was great. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Plus all the international live streaming, live cases, which were streamed. Okay. Let's talk topic number one.
Wait. I got to talk about those live cases, Troy, because they're so cool. I mean, they really are. You should talk about that for a second, because that has nothing to do with us in Speaker Ready. But oh my gosh, it's the coolest thing.
Yeah, this conference definitely has some of the best live case, meaning there is a live surgery happening on screen. It's a little disconcerting to me, a potential patient, to see a surgeon answering questions from the audience, like, you know, literally in the middle of a procedure, doctor, why did you use that? Da, da, da. Well, that's a really good question. And pause and then turn and run a PowerPoint presentation because they have it in the cath lab with them and everybody learns something. But I'm thinking patient, body on the table, person, you know, but that's what this is. And they have the most live cases, I believe, in this arena. It's really, really amazing. It is also the only time of the conference where we and Speaker Ready get to sit relaxed because we're not running the slides. We're not responsible for anything. That's our time to catch up because they're doing these other just amazing things.
True. You should. I do want to say in there, though, that this is doctors presenting to other doctors. This
yes.
is an entire, it's physician conference, physician education. So it's not like a layman sitting there asking random questions. This
good
is an
point.
Actual teaching thing, you know? It's
This is CME continuing medical education credits, tons of them. This conference is really high up there for that. Nurses as well, cath lab nurse. So here, I got a question for us before we get into the PowerPoint and the videos that I know we're going to talk about. How many presentations can you recall that were Mac PowerPoint or keynote? I mean, we had over 150 presentations coming into us.
I feel like Echo got them all.
Well, I had several Mac presentations, but no keynote presentations.
You know, the thing is that, like, when the doctors, they're not all guys, they're men and women, but when the doctors would hand over a PowerPoint file, you wouldn't necessarily know if it was Mac or PC or Mac or Windows.
Good point.
I mean, because it's just a PPT. I did get one PPT file. But,
I had a few.
I had one.
And I saw, I mean, the vast majority of the physicians who I saw working on their computers were on Macs, though. So I think there were a lot of Mac PowerPoint files. I think I probably got, I'm going to say, 6 keynote files. And since we didn't have keynote in the ballrooms, we converted those to Windows, to PowerPoint. Sorry.
We'll probably talk about that. We'll probably talk about that in a few minutes because there's some logistics with that.
There were maybe 5 or 6 keynotes and then all the rest were PowerPoint.
I had at least 2 keynote files and several of them were Mac PowerPoint, which I think is a big, because this is our 9th year working on this conference. And keynote was very dominant several years back. Mm-hmm. And Microsoft has done, I think Office 365 is what's done it, is that it's still Mac computers, but it was Mac PowerPoint for Mac that I saw a lot more of. Very, very few keynote files. I was just making sure everybody saw the same thing because, you know, we didn't always see what everybody was working on.
I'm probably counting a couple of your keynote files, to be honest.
Actually, I probably handed them off to you. Hey, just so everybody knows, Speaker Ready, we all worked at MacBook Pros, but we were working in parallels on the Windows side. So if somebody came in with PowerPoint for Mac and they wanted to see it on the Mac to make sure they were, you know, everything was copacetic, we could run it that way. And then the keynote files, we could just swipe over, open it, convert. We had that cool transfer folder on the desktop. So you drop files in there and it shows up on the Windows side. Anyways, that's what we did for all of our Speaker Ready. We did work on MacBook Pros just to make it as seamless because we know that so many of the doctors do carry around Macs. Okay, I got another one though along that. What were some of the, I won't say crazy, what were some of the legacy things you saw, like the .ppt file? I mean, I haven't seen that.
Yeah, that was crazy, .ppt. I haven't seen that.
I did. I got one.
Yeah, I got one. And I bet it's been, would it be 10 years maybe?
You got to purposely be saving it as a PPT, or it's just a legacy file that just keeps getting saved
I think.
Yeah.
And for me, there, Echo, I know you had a couple, but linked videos were still, you had a doc that actually was purposely linking videos, right? Did you have one, Sandy?
Oh God. Well, yeah, that's the, that was the one that Echo was helping me clean up at
the last
7 o'clock at night.
But the doc actually sat down and talked about the fact that this is their process, and they explained, they go through, I mean, it's hard to link a file now to, let me rephrase that. It's hard to create a linked video and not have it embed. And this doc knew exactly the steps, and that's what he was told to do. And he was still doing it, right?
Yeah. For mine. So we had a couple of those with linked files. Sandy had a file that had linked videos and I helped her reset those. And then I had another doctor who had purposely linked all his files. Now, Sandy's, I don't know if he purposely did, but he would almost have had to. And I think that the reason that they, I think the reason that these guys are linking their files, their video files, is because I mean, honestly, Troy, I'm going to blame us because we trained them to do that. Like, seriously, because back in the day, we trained them to put stuff in a folder. Like, my doctor who was walking me through his process, he said, I put all the videos in the folder, like you guys have taught me to do. And yeah, I mean, like, I know how, you know, I know I'm supposed to do that. And I put all the videos in there. And then I do this and I go here and I click this. I make sure to go to advanced and click link. And I'm like, well, that's really smart to put them all in the same folder. And you should do that. But you don't have to click link anymore because they all get it. If you don't, it just automatically comes in as the same file. But that's what we had to train them to do. So I blame us. It's our fault.
We created the scenario.
We created the monster.
I couldn't believe how many 4x3 presentations. So many still 4x3.
Yeah. Did you see stretched logos from 16 by 9 to 4x3 and vice versa? Mm-hmm. Lots of that. I saw lots of that.
There was linked images, which, I mean, linked Excel files I'll accept as a good option. But we saw linked videos and we saw linked images. Who links images?
My doctor who linked videos and doesn't know. I think, honestly, I think that that happens when people copy images from their intranet or from online and paste in. I don't think that's an intentional. I the one that I was thinking of, he had 30 videos. I had to send him away to actually reinsert all his videos. There was an image in there as well. And I'm sure that that was just an inadvertent thing, random thing.
Well, on this legacy topics, I have two more. One is the legacy of legacies for PowerPoint was blue background, yellow text still lives in the doctor realm, right? Oh my gosh.
Yep.
Serif, like Times Roman, right? Mm-hmm. There's some Comic Sans, but usually Times Roman in that scenario, Troy.
Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. And then the other DV, we had the legacy of legacy.
My favorite moment, Echo's face.
The guy comes in with a DVD, like a physical DVD.
And he asks Echo, do you have a DVD player? And her face went completely blank.
She couldn't answer. You had no words.
It was awesome.
Really?
I just don't
have much of a poker face. So.
we used to carry, I mean, not.
Forgot about that.
Hold on. Let me think this through. Even the desktop systems in our office do not have DVD players anymore. I mean, they're full gaming rigs, but, and we used to carry an external DVD player. It was a part of our travel kit. I honestly can say it probably hasn't been in there for 4 years. And this is the first time somebody's asked me for a DVD in 6 years, but this doc was, I've got it on DVD. It was crazy.
He said, I've got it on CD.
Oh, CD.
That was part of my reaction. Cause I'm like, CD, really? I'm like, DVD? So that's when he got it out and showed it to me. I'm like, okay, it's a DVD. There's at least that.
Oh my gosh. Okay. What was the craziest presentation file you saw?
I had one with animation. Literally, he had a bullet list. And keep in mind, these are doctors. And also maybe to level set, we're not here to redesign anything.
Right.
So we had to sit and watch it all go by and cringe. Oh gosh. And so I had a doctor, lots of bullet points and sub bullets. There must have been 11 bullet points on this thing. Everyone had a different animation, a fade, a dissolve, a fly in, a rise up, a curve under, whatever. I mean, literally it was like they hit random on animations. It was insane.
I think the craziest was the 5 or 6 angiogram videos stacked on top of each other in the same slide. And I think that created problems, even though we optimized it. I think it created problems for the tech team later. But
yeah, why don't you just divide those across five slides? It's the same talking time.
Exactly. Or this is tough. This is tough for proofing. It's tough for communicating with the tech team. The untrained eye, video and photography of angiograms on the same slides. And that's just really a hard thing to work with. I guess we need to get smarter that way. I do anyway.
They all look alike to me.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Hard to know when it was a video and what we were trying to catch.
Okay, so on the craziest presentation file, who had, maybe I ingested it, but the Hebrew language one, which isn't bad. It wasn't written in Hebrew, obviously, but I have never seen this. You know, Hebrew is a right to left language, right? I'm not misspeaking.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
And in the top, in slide sorter view, the top right-hand corner was number one and then went to the right. Number two to the left, number three to the left, number three. So it was literally backwards. And the scroll bar was on the far left as well.
The thumbnail pane was on the far right.
Yes.
You were in a mirror universe.
We had another doctor come in who...
Wait. Didn't the arrows were backwards to control the presentation too? That's what started it, wasn't it?
Well, the fact that I looked at it in slide, see, you didn't look at it in slide sort of view. You just looked at, thumbnails on side. You're like, look, I can move through the presentation. You click the up is up, down is down in all languages. Left and right were literally backwards. You would push the right arrow to go to the next slide and it would go backwards, which is the way I tested. I've been using PowerPoint for a little while. I've seen a lot of things. I have never seen that. And I also didn't know that the settings, because you discovered it, Echo, by looking at the language, right? To tell me, this is set up with the so-and-so language. I was like, I didn't think to look at that. And two, I didn't know that carried, like it stayed with the file. Like, you know, on our computers, it held that setting.
So Troy, for everyone listening here, what did we do about that?
Nothing. It works great. We just let the presenter run their own slide deck. It was just unique and crazy to look at.
The audience never saw that.
No.
Right. Running the slides did.
Yes.
Of course.
Yes.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Now, Troy, if you happen to have an archive of that, you can let me look at it. So how I knew it was Hebrew was there's a layout that had a Hebrew name. And so I knew that there was some Hebrew language in there somewhere. And that probably triggered that right to left thing. Even if that layout wasn't being used, or maybe it was only used on one slide, I think that's what triggered it. So I'm wondering if you remove that layout, if that would take care of it.
I don't know. If that layout wasn't, you'd have to reassign it to another layout. So we had another doctor come in who I happen to know his nationality or whatever. I don't know how to politely say this. He is Hebrew. So I said, hey, have you ever heard this? He's like, well, yeah. I mean, that was it. Yeah, like, of course. Yeah. Like, what's the question? I'm like, I've never seen this. He was like, huh, you're weird. You
know? He was awesome. It was his file, I think. And he said,
Different doctor's file that was set up that way. Yeah. That's why I was asking.
I thought it was the same one, the same guy. Well, he said that with his, if it has, like, if he only has English in his decks, but if he swipes one from somebody else, it may come in with one of those Hebrew layouts or something, which is probably what happened. It was the very last layout. So yeah, even if there wasn't any Hebrew in the file, it's in that layout. And that may have triggered it is what I was thinking.
I had a video come in. So it wasn't a presentation, but the video came in at a weird resolution size. It wasn't 1920 by 1080, which was the request, but it was 1680 by 1050. I mean, it scaled up. I was like, who created this file at this resolution? So that was kind of a unique one. Did you guys see any of the pre-records? The ones where people were, Cameo. This is where Cameo is going to change this industry, because people who couldn't be there would record their slides and they had send it to us. Many of them came as just PowerPoint files with auto advanced settings and the narrations in there. I saw one Cameo. One doctor used Cameo.
I was going to say, we did have one Cameo in there. I was so impressed.
Yeah. And that's going to change. That'll be a big, because we always send all the physicians, faculty, as we call them, we send all the faculty a little how-to list, and Cameo will be in the future, but because we get all these recording ones, I think it's going to be a huge thing for talks like this where they can't be present. They get to talk to their slides, but the thing is the PowerPoint record puts the presenter in the lower right-hand corner. Well, the physical setup in the ballroom, the lower right is really not an optimal area. It's kind of almost, it can be covered up. You know, first of all, people sitting, their heads are covering part of the screen. The lower right, so Cameo, they put it in the upper right as a circle. It didn't cover up the content because that's where your title goes. I'm really excited to see Cameo take on more of a usage. And this is the type of conference where it's exactly needed. It's a great. Did you guys see the email just, was it yesterday? Okay, hold on, Laura, you wouldn't be on this email. Hey, Echo and Sandy, you saw the email where Cameo has reached 100% production, meaning that all endpoints for PowerPoint has Cameo now?
Yeah, pretty cool. That's exciting.
I did see that.
Which is really good because at the presentation summit next month, I'm doing a talk on Cameo and I now know everybody will have it. I've been very paranoid about this, talking about this feature that I wasn't sure everybody would have. So that's like a huge stress relief for me. Okay, total side note. Okay, I got to bring this one up so we can just talk about it because we looked at all the presentations coming in. What can we say about fonts?
Oh, next topic?
Yeah. I mean, seriously, yeah. I haven't seen Comic Sans in a presentation for real. That wasn't a joke. And I am sorry. I have the utmost respect for these physicians, for this faculty. I really, really do. But that surprised me.
I mean, I would run SlideWise when we're at a slow point. And we're just there to make sure the presentations run. The biggest design thing was, hey, is content cut off? We'll adjust it. But, you know, there's so many sit on your hands and bite your lip and go, la, 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 I can't look at this. But I would run SlideWise because it has the best font audit. And oh my gosh, some files, 3 fonts. Like, that's amazing. Other files, like 19, 20, 30 fonts, of which half of them were custom fonts. So they weren't displaying anyways. And you just kind of got to go with it. But oh my gosh, fonts are a thing.
I think it's safe to say that the medical, at least this side of the industry, they don't have presentation designers very often. There were a few decks that came in. I'm like, ooh, this looks nice. Like you could tell that it was a real template. It was intentional. Things were designed very well. So clearly there's room for presentation designers to help out in this field.
You know what I saw that killed me, honestly, because you're talking about, you know, presentation designers and you saw a few that were nicely done. I saw more than one template that had that extra white pixel running down like on one of the edges. Mm-hmm. That bugs the ever living shit out of me. I can't stand that extra pixel. Like, why does nobody ever check those in SlideShow View? Why do we have that stray white pixel running on the edge when it's dark? It just makes me insane. And I saw so many of those.
Like, I did too.
Killing me, man. And I know that when you're projecting on the big screen, you're probably overshooting, but you're not when you're projecting on your laptop.
And this one, well, in the breakout rooms, they were projecting, but in the main general session, it was a giant LED wall. So it was a pip within it. So anything that's in the slide, you're going to see it. And man, yeah, that white edge would show up. Yeah, the breakout rooms were definitely projected,
so they could overshoot the screen a little bit around. Yeah. But wow. Yeah, that just hurt me.
We got together, we created a list of just things to do. And I don't have that list in front of me, so I'm going off the top of my head. But, you know, we'd open the file first we'd get the file from the server, right? And, adjust the naming. It was renamed according, but we would adjust a few things with the actual time they're presenting. And
if they uploaded it correctly, if they started with the upload process as they were supposed to, it would have been named properly. Right. True. And then we would download it from Dropbox because Troy, feel free to comment on this.
We have a really, really cool presentation. I mean, we do speaker ready rooms a lot. And we have a really cool one. You can upload it, you know, because you get doctors like, it's on my phone. My email won't go that far. So we have an all online upload. You pick from, you know, you add your first name, your last name, your email address. So we have a contact way to get a hold of you. Hey, doc, this, you know, file looks corrupt or something. We can email them. But then you pick the day of your talk. That'll add a drop down of all the sessions in all the ballrooms and a couple other parameters. And you hit send, it changes the just 3D NGO, blah, 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 you know, just crazy, crazy name they have. It changes it to date, session time, session name, their last name, and version number. So there's two dilemmas. One, we haven't overcome it internally. Our system, when it gets it, adds it to a database and it adds an nine digit code in front of it, which we don't really care about. So we just delete it when we put it on the server for all the ballrooms to access. It's there. It's really important. It's what keeps the version numbering in place. But the second thing is, for some reason, we can't have our system add files to SharePoint. We can do it to Box, Dropbox. Anyways,
okay, that's stupid.
It's a frustration thing. And I didn't have a dedicated person working on it this year as this came up, as I had hoped to do. So something in the Microsoft ecosystem, even though we're using a Microsoft ecosystem, our external system couldn't do the automated add to SharePoint. And it just made another step for us. But it is a pretty cool system. It was frustrating.
Our system also couldn't do math when we had a second version.
Oh, it couldn't do math. That's right.
Well, you had to do math.
It does math. It says, because they all get version one, because that's what we hard coded it. And then it goes dash one, dash two, dash three. So you got to say version one dash one is one plus one is two. Version one dash two is one plus two is three. So we had to manually do it. Math. Yeah. Uh-huh. I can't get the system to be, I get the system smart enough to tell us versioning and recognize it, but not to actually do the math in the naming. That's probably somebody better at coding.
I really love the fact that it does, like, it adds their name and all of that, because I got three files named PIX 2022.
Like, yes.
I have three files. Yeah. I mean, that's what they're in their bike.
Yeah.
But so, Lori, I interrupted you. So you then have to download it from Dropbox was your.
Yep. Yeah. Okay. So all that we just talked about literally was like 30 seconds just to adjust the file name. But then, you know, I would run it through NX PowerLite to catch any large images and stuff, and then open the file and run compatibility and optimize to get the videos all copacetic. As I would tell the doctors, it's, you know, sprinkling some pixie dust on your file. They liked it.
That's a good way to say it.
Yeah. No, I mean, it does some magic and just makes everything good. And then I would open up the file, I think we all did, with the doctor next to us, and we click through it. Just make sure all the videos were running. Occasionally the doctor, ooh, can I change this? After that, we just upload it onto Teams, which is where our techs would go and grab the file.
Interesting is how many doctors that say, can I get a copy of that after we work on it? Because hey, now, you know, the naming is different. It's got our conference naming scenario. They're like, that's great, but you've already done all those animation edits and optimizing. Mm-hmm. I mean, Echo, did you have one that went from like gigs down to megs?
I had one that went from 457 meg to 25 meg, I think.
Nice.
Sandy had a big one like that too.
He's 700 to 60 something. So yeah, I would say 90% compression. It was awesome.
Crazy. Yeah, a lot of it's the videos. They're just AVI files. I mean, they're literally a 9-second video that loops. But when you look in the file, it's 600 megabytes. And when you make it an MP4, it becomes 6 megabytes.
Yeah.
You know, speaking of videos, one thing I was surprised at, I haven't done this conference in several years. And so, you know, coming back, I know Microsoft has done so much with videos, and videos just are better and smoother. I was surprised how often we ran across videos that still wouldn't play, and we still had to, you know, re-encode them and drop them back in. I was surprised about that. I didn't think we'd run into that as much as we did.
Well, I would say this conference was about PowerPoint and about all these interesting looking designs and 4x3 and 16x9 and everything else. But it really was about, for this, because it's a big part of this conversation or this presentation, it really was about us managing the videos, the embedded videos. So I think that's what we'll spend the rest of our time talking about, is let the stories begin about video in PowerPoint.
Oh, where to begin?
Start with where we started. Keynote conversion.
Oh, so I had a doctor who gave me a keynote file. In fact, he gave me a couple of them over the course of, because he'd keep taking them back and making changes. And, oh, yeah, do it again. So he brought me his keynote file for the second or third time, and I exported it as a PowerPoint file, and we went through it. And I heard later that his last videos didn't play, and he was not happy with the tech in the room because his last videos didn't play. And of course, those were the most important ones. So I started looking back at it, and Troy, he's like, I think they do play. And he looked at them, and they do play, but they don't loop. Well, the doctors often put these, are they angiograms or echocardiograms? Like, what are they? But they're little video clips of these heart stents and things like that going through.
They're videos from inside your body about your heart.
Yeah, that's true. Exactly. But I have a little side note on that I'll come back to in a minute. But anyway, so we have these, you know, he has these little videos, and they're usually like, they might be 8 or 10 seconds tops. And, you know, sometimes just 2 or 3.
Oh, I was gonna say, a lot of them are short, really short.
Yeah, yeah, they're just really short little video clips. So they'll loop them. Well, I looked back at his keynote file, and he had indeed looped it in Keynote. So when we were going through it in PowerPoint, he didn't realize that it wasn't looping, and I didn't even think to check. And it didn't loop anymore in PowerPoint. So I think when Keynote exports to PowerPoint, you lose the looping. And I also tested, since I was in there looking at this, I didn't test all the settings, but I did test trimming. So if you trim a video, you know, down from a minute to, you know, 10 seconds or something like that, and then you export the file as a PowerPoint file, that trim stuff goes away. You get the whole video and you don't get loops. I mean, like, all those settings and edits and stuff go. So if any of you are doing Keynote stuff and you're exporting PowerPoint, you're doing with video, make sure you double check, triple check all those settings.
Yeah, that's a big one.
That's a big one.
Yeah. Live and learn. Live and learn. That was a good, good learning point.
Okay. So we would, so the other thing is we're taking all the MOV videos, because PowerPoint for Mac and Keynote, they work with MOV just fine. And we would use PowerPoint's Optimize to convert them, transcode them into MP4s. Super quality, very, very high praise from me on how well and how fast that process works. But I will say, I just did a blog post series a month ago on Microsoft's new acquisition, Clipchamp, which is a video editing program. The only downside to this is I hadn't had it installed on all of our show computers, so we all had it. But I am actually amazed at how well it reads all kinds of bizarre codecs and file formats. So I was opening up files, you know, drop them into Clipchamp and just say re-render.
You're helping me with that.
I did it on dozens of them for me as well. And it was faster than working in Premiere, which is my normal, well, actually Adobe Media Encoder. I'll just drop it in there and, you know, say re-encode it. But man, Clipchamp was kind of the go-to, and it's already on my list for our IT manager to add, create accounts, because all of our computers have account, TLC creative accounts, to add Clipchamp to all those, just so it's an available option on all the computers. So I thought that was kind of a highlight. I mean, I like the program, but man, after this week of going through so many of them, I don't think it failed me on anything, really.
I like Clipchamp.
I ended up using Handbrake on the Mac side because, honestly, I couldn't get Clipchamp to install. Sometimes Microsoft makes installation so difficult. Just the easiest thing was so much of a hassle that I just gave up, and because I could download and install Handbrake, piece of cake, on the Mac. So I want to like Clipchamp, but I got to jump through hoops to install it. So
yeah, I just did a good one. The other one is obviously true heroes for us are NX PowerLite. Just amazing how it doesn't hurt quality, but it compresses files, because that was, you know, we're moving files around a network. And then SlideWise, which I did use to look up Echo. What do you call it? It tells you where all the linked videos are.
Right,
where
yeah.
Microsoft's kind of legacy anemic dialog box doesn't tell you much about it, but you can
It doesn't tell you shit about it.
Exactly.
You can't even get the full freaking link.
But SlideWise not only does that, it'll tell you, you know, well, you have to double click on it to have it take you to the slide. There's some things I'm going to talk to the new power guys about, because if the same video is inserted on 3 different slides, there's a little drop down arrow and it tells you which 3 slides. I'm like, well, I want that slide number in the individual. Anyways, so those are, I think, are things. But I do have one bit of software to talk about that used to be installed on all of our show computers specifically for these type of projects, and we haven't needed it. And then this past week, I was like, we should have this. And that's the PP Tools FixLinks Pro.
Yeah.
Awesome bit of software. I thought its days were gone. And all of a sudden we started getting all these linked videos. And I was like, oh, this thing would give me all the information, as well as it also made a text file you could give, you know, we could print it. Okay, printing is a whole other issue. Our printers weren't there. But it would give you a print. You could just print out the document and say, here, doctor or presenter, here, presenter, here's a list of all the linked videos I need. This tells me where they're at on your computer. It's an awesome bit of software we didn't have installed, and I was kind of missing it all of a sudden for the first time in several years.
Well, and speaking of Steve, Echo used the hammer tool again. I mean, good old reliable hammer tool. And
I was just going to give Thor a shout out. I was totally going to say that, Sandy. You read my mind.
Yep.
Yeah. Go ahead.
No, that's it. It was like magic watching you. It was sit back, watch Echo. Worker magic.
That was when we were all brain dead. I couldn't even think. I was so tired. Like, we were all just brain dead.
You let Thor do the thinking.
I did. I let Thor do the thinking. It was pretty great.
I use Thor like on a daily basis, but it's to hammer in all the footnote, you know, medical slides. You have to put in so many reference notes. We just pick it up from a master. We actually have on our template, we have a slide that says, you know, footnote and source and reference, because they're two different things. You know, we have two text boxes, so we just pick it up and we just go through the whole deck, hammer, just top to bottom, 50 slides, 500 slides, just go through and get those out of the way.
I do that too, but in this case, it was about replacing linked videos, so I could pick up the where the first video, the original video was, and then move it off to the edge and put the new one into place and check the settings and, you know, all that stuff.
Of course, we're over there looking at the videos like, okay, this one has the stent over on the right side a little. This one has the same exact stent a little. We had to visually match them up, because the file names when you extract them are media one, media two, media three. And the one from the doctor is like this crazy long.
Yeah, that's not always easy to tell. But one guy, he left the sound in his video. We didn't play it on the screen, but he left the sound in. And I was so grateful, because I could actually tell which video was which, because they all looked alike, you know. But yeah.
Here's a weird thing that I ran into. And I don't, you know, I started to write Microsoft about it, because it's an odd behavior. But then I don't know if it's really a bug. When someone has unchecked the advance on click option.
That was weird.
You cannot click on the slide with your mouse. Oh, it's advance on mouse click.
Yes.
So you click on the slide, you cannot advance, which makes sense. But you can advance with the space bar, the down arrow keys. And that, while the language is very descriptive, it still seems like it's a mistake.
Feels like it should turn off always to advance without a purposeful link or something.
Yeah, why have I not noticed that in 25 years of working in this business?
We used to do a lot of kiosk presentations, and either we didn't notice it or there's been a behavior change in that. So
I think the intent behind kiosk presentations is that the keyboard would be hidden. Like only the people who are actually doing anything with it would, and so that's why it still works on the key on the.
That could be.
Sorry to interrupt. Go ahead. For everybody, what?
What was I going to say? Oh, for everybody listening, the other thing that caught me is I would put it in slide sort. This is part of our check. Look for auto advance, because every now and then people just had random slides that would auto advance. And you, when you're clicking through it fast to proof it, you don't notice it. But hey, it's got a 12-second auto advance. A presenter could be talking for more than 12 seconds. All of a sudden it goes to the next slide, and you know, the poor tech in the background, why'd you advance my slide? And they're like, whoa, wasn't me. You know, so we checked for, I was surprised at how many auto advances were. And I think it's a symptom from all of our virtual meetings where people had hit record or rehearse, or I don't know. I think auto advance has been used more. And now that we're back to standard in-person presenting, they're just kind of legacy things left in there. Thoughts? I just see it more now than I have in the past several years.
We did see it a lot. And I don't remember that ever being a thing before.
Not as much.
I don't know why. Laura, you were talking about running NXP and then, you know, optimizing and compressing video. I had a couple of videos that when I ran Compress, they collapsed. And by collapse, they went from square videos to being like real vertical or real horizontal. Like they collapsed literally. And so I guess my thing is, if you're going to run Compress and Optimize, make sure you check afterward. It's very rare that you have issues. Very rare. I mean, I'm so impressed with the Optimize and the Compress capability, but every now and then you'll get a weird one. Did you guys run into any weird one? I had two files that did that.
I did not, but I remember you had to redo your videos.
A couple of them.
I didn't either. So if you look at, we had 150 presentations, two presentations had the collapse. Yeah. Pretty good. That's kind of high odds, actually, if you think of it.
I had two unique ones. One was because it was filmed from an iPhone and the poster frame was like distorted. It was like, it was a portrait video, but they had, but the poster frame from the video was horizontal landscape, but stretched to the full height. So it just looked distorted, but as soon as you hit play, it would pop into place. It was really, really, and the doctor's like, I don't know, it just does it. So I just basically changed the poster frame to the first, to the second frame of the actual video, and it worked fine. But that was a weird one. I think that has to do with interpreting the HEIC, the high, Apple's high compression, high quality, high compression for, I think, but it was definitely an iPhone video because the doctor told me. And the other one I had was, so it was kind of like what you said, Echo, in that the video was collapsed, but it only happened, and this is, I've actually got a slide set aside, saved as this, when I previewed it in Teams, which I don't do. It was kind of like a mistake. I clicked and went, oh, okay. Side note, this is driving me crazy, Microsoft. Some computers in Microsoft Teams, I can go to the file. I can put, you know, I can do the three-dot menu and I can say change default and I could say open in app as the default. So you click the name, it'll open up in Word, Excel, or PowerPoint. Other computers, I go there to say change default and only Teams and browser are the only options. In other words, you cannot specify open in app. I don't know. I can't figure out I can't figure out a pattern of why it is. So anyways, this is all the compute sticks that we use for all the digital signage. They're the identical same computer. Okay. We have nine of them on site for this. And like three of them, it wasn't an option. I'm like, what's the difference here? I mean, they're running anyways. So this particular video, I happened to click it, thinking it would open in PowerPoint. It opened in Teams. I was like, fine, I just need to preview it. So I clicked through and I got to a video. Again, I believe it was shot on an iPhone because it was a tall, let me rephrase that. It was shot on a phone. It was a tall portrait. It was of a nurse explaining the procedure. But in the preview in Teams, it showed the full poster frame, but then the actual video ran horizontal in a little layer on top of it. It was like collapsed, squished like you had, Echo. But then when I opened it in PowerPoint, it was fine. So it's something about the Teams viewer.
We had that in other issues. I can't remember who, but somebody else had an issue because we were looking at it in Teams, not in the app.
Yep. Yeah, there's some, I mean,
so
obviously
you mean
we don't.
In the app from Teams, not in the app directly?
In PowerPoint, it was fine, but if you ran, which is basically Teams PowerPoint app for web, you know, it would not display accurately. We had that a few times.
But if you did Teams and then open an app, you're considering that PowerPoint directly.
Yeah. Okay. No problem at all there.
That's okay. All right.
Okay, another thing that
Go. No, you go.
Well, I was just going to add, maybe we're jumping around a little bit here, but one other effect that we had was when nearly all the doctors looped their angiogram, looped their videos. Mm-hmm. And if there was even the slightest bit of black at the beginning or the end of the loop, you would get a really bad flashing effect that caused seizures. And so, you know, that's just something you're able to take. You know, years ago, you would have had to edit it externally. But the trim is really working. Get rid of that trim and it works perfectly. So that was another thing. Kind of weird.
We leveraged a lot. I mean, we could have a whole talk on what we used to do, why we were brought into this meeting 9 years ago and what we do now. So different. I mean, things are the same problems, physicians making their own slides, but the technologies and the way things work and the amount of stuff that PowerPoint does, I don't think PowerPoint gets enough credit, but anyways, I'll talk more. So I did have one little thing that this would almost be like my pro and tech. I can't do that because I have a really good pro and tech tip. So we would use, Echo, you said you use the Thor hammer to place the videos in the same position as the original when you're replacing them, by the way. Mm-hmm. Right click and say change video would be a stellar addition to PowerPoint, like, change image.
I swear I did that.
What? Export.
I did that on this show. I right clicked and I switched some videos. I swear I did.
Why did you not make this a vocal thing for us?
I don't know. I couldn't always do it. I don't know what the difference was.
I don't know. Okay, now I got to look into this. The other one I use, because we had so many videos, and I did this for the Keynote conversion. Sorry, Echo, I didn't bring this up. I should have, because I knew that Keynote didn't loop the videos automatically. So I would set one video with start with previous and loop, and continuously loop. So I grabbed that, and then I would use the Animation Painter. Mm-hmm. But the trick is, everybody listening, if you don't know this, if you hold the control key down and then you double click on the Animation Painter, it holds that Animation Painter until you hit escape key or you click on something. So you could basically go through every slide in every video and go click, apply those settings, click, apply those settings, click, apply.
Which key did you hold?
Control key. You double click on the Animation Painter and it basically says, I'm going to pick up that animation setting and I will hold it and you can use it as many times as you want in this presentation. Unlike the eyedropper, you can't go to another presentation. But I use that several times. It's just a way to quickly apply it.
I feel like I know that the Animation Painter is sticky. I thought you could double click it. I don't remember having to press control.
Maybe you can. Maybe I'm adding too much to it.
Yeah, I don't think you have to press control. I think it's sticky if you double click it. I could be wrong. And you may need to do control. But the thing is that for me, when I was going through these, I'm hesitant to go through and just do that. I want to look and see what settings I have on there, especially if they're not sitting there with me.
Yes.
If they've just sent us some, I don't want to mess them up. They get used to their files mm-hmm. being a certain way. And I'm always hesitant. What do you check? What do you help them out with? What do you, if they're sitting there, I can ask them. Yeah. I had one guy, remember Troy? You might not remember. I was looking at their deck and there was an extra click that didn't do anything. And I looked in the animation pane and it was an emphasis animation and it was a bold, it was to bold the text or a bold flash or something, but it was 2 seconds long. So even if it was doing anything, you wouldn't know because it took so long to do, right? But when the doctor came in, Troy said, you should help him out. Just remove that. And I'm like, I'm scared to do it because if he's used to 2 clicks there. Well, the doctor came in and he was like, why is there an extra click there? I'm like, let me fix that. I can fix that for you. I know what this is.
Oh, my gosh. Fun. Okay, before we wrap up, here's a serious question. Big Bowl versus Volare.
Big Bowl.
Big Bowl.
Ooh.
Ooh. I'm Big Bowl. Yeah. I liked my tuna poke bowl, I'll tell you. Although but the meatballs were quite good at Volare.
It was crowded in there, though.
It was. That was one of the better Caesar salads I've had in a long, long, long,
Noki
long time.
Noki was good at Volare, but that shrimp. Oh.
I'm delicious. So glad you liked that. I would that's not a good have predicted call. That. Yeah. I really like that Szechuan stir fry stuff. So yeah, you can always sell me on Asian. So,
Then on another night I went, the first night when nobody was there, let me rephrase that. Nobody on this podcast was there. I went to the Weber Grill, had phenomenal meal there. I like going there. And then I went with a client. We went to Joe's for, they had crab legs and stuff. I wasn't up for the $200 price point, but I had phenomenal food there.
That's good. And I have one more story about this PIX conference I have to throw in. So it wasn't as bad this year, but last year it was crazy just because of the way the rooms were set up. Those doctors will sit around and talk about all this stuff. And I keep hearing echo, echo, echo. Cardiograms. It's so weird just hearing it ambient,
Okay, well, let me wrap us up on this one. as a wrap up to this fantastic conversation, thank you, Sandy. Thank you, Lori. Thank you, Echo, for making this very short notice podcast recording happen. Thank you for, joining us as part of the TLC Creative Services on-site presentation team at this conference. It was great. There was a total of 8 of us on the presentation team. So you got literally half of us here today. So
it was fantastic. A blast. Thank you.
It was fun. Thanks for having me.
Oh my gosh. Absolutely. And Echo's been there for at least 4 of them. 4 years, Echo, at least. I don't know.
4 or 5.
Yeah, there we go.
A lot.
It's been a newbie.
It's a good, yeah. And Sandy came in as a, hey, Sandy, Echo, Lori, and I, we're going to be hanging out in San Diego. Why don't you come join us? Are you free on these days? Yeah, I'm free. Oh, great. That's here's great. The work schedule. Wait, am I working?
Yeah, I don't think so. But yes, it was very fun.
That's awesome. This is our 9th year supporting this particular event, and the war stories of what we have encountered with those provided presentation is what keeps me busy feeding Microsoft ideas and bug reports and my blog. You know, I've wrote down dozens of options for blog posts just from what I encountered here. Hey, and I will say the evolution of how we approach presentation pre-flighting, it's changed a lot over the years, with much of it kind of being attributed to advancements in PowerPoint, especially around this whole video element. Some of the newer third-party software options out there have also been a factor in how we change things. And you know what? It's really about some of the adoption of the newer presentation building skills by the presenters themselves. The industry presentation, it is getting better, in my opinion. The one thing this meeting proves to me every year is that PowerPoint has, too many ways of accomplishing things, and there is not a shrinking need for presentation experts to help smooth out the process.
Okay, I'll go with my pro tip. It's more of a fun, someone might say it's a fashion thing, but it's a phone case. But this one is called the Bandolier Crossbody Phone Case, and it's made for iPhones and Samsung phones alike. But what's different about this is it is a crossbody. So there are little hooks to the case that allow me to wear it over my shoulder. I bought it originally for traveling in Europe to keep it underneath my coat, but now I use it all the time. What's different about mine is that I added a little accessory that's a pouch that allows me to hold a little wallet in there and carry my credit cards and everything. So I'll put a link in the show notes. It's the Bandolier Crossbody Bag, and I recommend it awesome. For your iPhone. Thank you.
I loved it. It was adorable.
Super cute. Yeah, I agree. So I have to say that whenever I'm with Troy on site or at MVP meetings or something, he always has gadgets that I end up ordering and having waiting on me by the time I get home. So this time it was a keyboard, and I really like this Mac Alley keyboard. I've been looking for a keyboard that's not so clickety clackety loud. I've got like 4 keyboards here. I keep trying different ones because I like the tactile ones, but those damn Cherry MX keys or Brown MX or whatever it was I ordered, they're still loud. So I got this Mac Alley one that's kind of quiet. I mean, it's quiet, it's silent, but it actually has a number pad and it has a Windows button. So I'm really excited because I run at home a Mac with Parallels, just like we were running on site. So that's like my typical work setup. So I'm excited to finally have a keyboard that I can use. Thank you, Troy.
You're welcome. That's awesome.
Well, that's awesome. If Sandy got to do a fashion tip, I'm going to do a game tip. So I'm going off the rails here. Troy turned me onto this, so it's all his fault. There's a game out there, app. It's on Android. It's on Apple, iOS. It's called I Love Hue, Hue, and it is so much fun. It's you have to be of the right frame of mind. It's a color game, and it gives you a grid of color, a color wheel, a color gradient, and then you click a button and it shuffles it, and you have to put all the colors back together so they're all next to you blend them all back together again, and it is so zen. It is so relaxing. I am hooked.
Installing now.
There you go.
I did the same thing, Echo.
It is so lovely.
Mine is, although we had mixed results using these, I feel these are the future. We tried not to use the hotel internet that was being provided for us. Actually, the ballrooms, all of our graphics ops did, but we in the Speaker Ready tried not to take up the live stream bandwidth. So we were using Netgear, Nighthawk, M5, 5G mobile hotspots. They're basically like a small Wi-Fi router, and it has either an AT&T or T-Mobile 5G SIM card that can be added to it. We were using T-Mobile cards. And then the computers can connect to it, has a couple of antennas, or there's a couple of antenna configurations. We figured out which ones we like better, by the way. Computers can connect to it by Wi-Fi, or what I really like is it has a single Ethernet port on the back of it. We hook that into a small switch, and then you could hardline all your computers. It's still Wi-Fi, but the computers are hardlined to it. The speeds were impressive. I mean, speed tests were often in the 50 over 30 range, and that's with four or five computers connected, but they would go up to 150 over 100 megabits per second. I mean, pretty good. We did have some antenna problems, and we did have some device setup problems, which I think were part of our, when I say we tried to use these, we did have them fail in one of the lower ballrooms. We just gave up and put that area on the full, our purchased hotel internet package, our private VPN. You know, I think with some testing and getting more familiar, these could be a viable on-site internet option. They're not cheap. These units cost about $800 per unit. The SIM card is about $50 a month for an unlimited plan. Although I really don't know what unlimited means. Didn't hit it. We did hit over 150 gigs, guys, on our main hotspot that we were using in Speaker Ready for our four computers there. So that was over 150 gigs of data in 4 days, and it didn't show any limits. Anyways, I'm going to throw it out there. The Netgear 5G mobile hotspots are expensive, but they're a cool techie thing. And they did, I mean, $800 and a year-long commitment on $50 SIM cards was a lot cheaper than, I'll just say, five-digit internet offerings from the hotel.
Excellent.
How many of those do we buy?
Moving on to sign-offs right now.
Hey, this is Echo. Thanks for having me, Troy. Thanks for listening, everybody. You can find me at echosvoice.com or at presentationguild.org, probably on the member Slack channel.
Hey, this is Lori with TLC Creative Services. Usually you go first and I just say ditto. So let's see. You can find me on LinkedIn, and we have the PowerPoint blog. And I'm going to let Troy go next because he'll fill you in all the ways to get hold of us.
Right, this is Troy from TLC Creative Services. We're a professional presentation design agency. We also now do, as you know, speaker support and a lot of other on-site events, virtual conferences. Just signed a contract for another one today. And we do the PowerPoint blog and vxpmeetings.com. And Sandy, you close us out.
Okay, this is Sandy Johnson with Presentation Whiz. You can visit my website and blog at presentationwhiz.biz, or you can reach out to me to request a free download of presentation storyboarding PDFs. You'll also find me on LinkedIn as Sandra Johnson, PowerPoint MVP, and on Twitter as PPTWiz. Finally, be sure to check out the Presentation Guild at presentationguild.org.
Thanks for joining us for another presentation and PowerPoint conversation. Episode show notes are available at the Presentation Podcast website, www.thepresentationpodcast.com, and don't leave people out of the conversation. Please recommend the Presentation Podcast others. The Presentation Podcast is produced by TLC Creative Services, Inc., and new episodes release on the first and third Tuesday of each month.